Amen. God is good. He heals people. Amen. Amen. All right. So this is really important. This is more important than going to the bathroom, I promise. It's very important. Because you guys are not just sitting in a room. You're here to hear the word of the Lord. You're here to hear what I feel like God is speaking to me. So this is vital to your guys' lives. Everyone say, this is vital. This is important. If you guys, who wants to be successful in life? Good. I am talking to the right group of people tonight. Because if you guys get this, it will radically change your perception. No, thank you. It will radically change what you think in terms of life. This will drastically change your perspective, your perception of what you think. Because I know a lot of you think this because I think it. I do. And so you guys have to get this because it's really important. Everyone say it's really important. It's really important. It's vital. Everyone say vital. Vital. Come on, say it like you believe it. It's vital. Vital. Yeah. Believe it. It's vital. You guys have to get this. Are you guys ready? Let's go to Psalm 37. You guys all brought your notebooks and your Bibles, I hope. Because if you didn't, you need to. Because it'll help you retain all the information. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. Psalm. Amen. That's awesome. Praise God. Yeah, give a hand clap. Come on. That's so cool. I have a cool testimony. This is totally off subject of anything I'm speaking, but it's really good. Okay, so I went. My Xbox was broken. Everyone go, oh, it's sad. And I was driving to the place where to get my Xbox fixed, and I felt like the whole thing, I felt like it was set up by God. Like I felt like my Xbox breaking, you know, and stuff like that, and meeting whoever I was going to meet to fix my Xbox, I felt like it was a divine connection, because I was just like, okay, there's got to be something. There's got to be a reason why my Xbox broke. Either God is teaching me I'm playing too much Xbox, or he's setting up a divine appointment for me to meet someone. And so I went to meet this guy, and I got into his house, and he was fixing my Xbox, and we were going. And eventually, their whole family came into the living room, and they started sitting down. They were just kind of hanging out. And then I started talking about my testimony. I started talking about church, and I got to minister to this entire family about God, about his grace, about how going to church is not necessarily about going to church, and being a Christian isn't about going to church. It's about loving God and loving people. And I got to share, you know, how I got saved from drugs and how I got saved from alcohol. And it was amazing because they just started, like, opening up. And the guy was an atheist, and at the end I got to pray for him. You know, as I was leaving, I was like, hey, can I pray for you? You know, because what did Pastor Jeff say? Let's not bring him to church to introduce them to Jesus. Let's introduce them to Jesus on the spot, right? Because really, that guy was really technologically, you know, inclined. Like, he was very intricately thinking. Like, he was a very scientific person. Has anyone ever met someone like that? Yeah, I've met someone like that. I just met someone like that. And they're very analytical thinkers. Like, they really want things to be proven, right? And so I was just like, you know, can I pray for you? Because I believe when you place your hand on them, that there's a transfer, that the Holy Spirit is in you, and there's a transfer from you to them. And so it's amazing, you know, it was awesome. And I want to encourage you guys, look for opportunities. Everyone say look. Look for opportunities, because there's opportunities for you to minister to your friends. There's opportunities to encourage one. I would encourage you, Olivia, Oe, to encourage that girl, to say, hey, that's so awesome. You know, and get her into a church if she doesn't know Jesus, introduce her to Jesus. Because that's the only way she'll probably really quit. Because when I was on drugs, that's the only thing that really got me to quit. And so I want to encourage you guys, look for opportunities. Look for situations. Look for, you know, be thinking, you know, like I was when I had my Xbox and I was driving to that place, I was thinking, okay, this is a divine appointment. God set this up. You know, be thinking about that. Think that way. So that when stuff happens and you're put into situations, you're like, okay, God is up to something. There's something going on right now. God is setting me up to minister to someone. Okay, with that aside, we're going to get to the really important thing I was talking about. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For they are like grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. So tonight, we're going to talk about do not fret. Do not fret. So let's pray real quick. So Father, we come to you tonight. And God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to minister to your word. And God, I pray that you'd speak through me. God, that they would not be my words, but it would be your words flowing through my lips. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Do not fret. Do not fret. I want to tell you guys why this is so important. Because it's easy to look at those that are doing wrong. It's easy to look at the world and fret. It's easy. And that word fret, you know what it means? I'll tell you what it means. I looked it up. Jealous, actually. Yep. That's one of the definitions. One of the definitions is to be jealous. It's crazy. I looked it up. And so, and you're being envious of their ways. So do not fret because of evil men. It's easy to look at the world and see success. It's easy. And it's almost discouraging because you look at the world and they're not following the Lord, they're not committed to his ways, but yet they're succeeding. And you're like, how are they doing that? Because they don't have God. Do not fret, young people. Do not be envious of them, because eventually it will lead to death. Eventually, things in this world do not last forever. Things in this world pass away. So don't fret. And because it's so easy to look at the world, and it's so easy. You see the movie stars, right? You see the musicians. You see the rock stars. You see those people that are like rich beyond rich, and you're like, and you almost want to give up because you're like, they're being successful without God, and here I am trying to make it through this relationship with Jesus, and I'm not doing so well, right? And so, do not fret. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous of the world, because they have everything, and it seems like you have nothing. They get to listen to whatever music they want. They get to swear. They get to do all these things, and it seems like they're free. It looks like they have a level of freedom that you do not have. That's what it appears like. It looks like they don't have a care in the world. It looks like they don't care. And we're going to go to another verse, Psalm 73, 2 through 5. Okay, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then we jump down a few verses. This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocent. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. It's easy. It's super easy to look at the world and say, wow, they're pretty successful. They're doing a pretty good job. Dang, they have it all together. And when you fix your eyes on that, when you begin to look at the world and you begin to long after it, you begin to almost want it. And so do not fret. We're going to go down a couple more verses. To Psalm 73, verse 18. Surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Listen to what he says. Everyone listen. As a dream, when one awakes, it's not real. It's fake. It's not real. Their success, the things that they're doing well, all the money, everything they have, all the cars, it's not real. It's a dream. Why? Because it doesn't last forever. Ladies, listen to me. It's very important that you get this. We're going to go to one more verse. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that seems right to the man, to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. In the end, it leads to death. Do not love this world. Don't love this world. It says in 1 John 2, I think it's verse 5. Do not love this world. You know why? Because it perishes. It falls away. It disappears. It's there. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Nothing lasts forever, young people. Nothing. The only thing that lasts forever is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. This world will pass away. I promise you. The cars will rust and get destroyed. The money will run out, or you'll eventually die and you can't spend the money anymore. The things of this world pass away, but Jesus Christ is forever. Do not love this world. And when it says, do not love this world, guess what it means? An active love, a pursuing love. A love where you're like, you're almost, you want it so bad. Do not love this world. Don't love this world, because it's gone. This world is over. It's over. You guys are not meant to live here. You guys are built, engineered for heavenly place. You guys are not built for earth. So do not love it. Do not love it. And that doesn't mean you have to go home and throw out your Xbox. You have to, you know, throw out all your CDs. You have to break your iPod. You don't have to do that. That's not what I mean. Those things are okay. But if you're running after those things, if you're running after that Xbox with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're running after that iPod, if you're running after that guy or running after that girl with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, do not love this world. Because it'll fall away. It'll pass away. Because, guys, nothing is forever. Nothing. The only thing is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will last forever. So don't fret when your friends are prospering. Don't fret because you're trying to live out your faith. You're trying not to swear. You're trying not to listen to that music. You're trying not to do those things. But your friends are doing all those things, and they're doing okay. They're doing all right. They're not, like, you know, burning in hell right now. They're not, you know, they don't have the cloud, the wrath of God hitting them every time they say a bad word. You know? Wouldn't that be funny? Every time your friends swore, a lightning bolt hit them. That would be bad. But don't fret, young people. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't worry, because the things of this world will pass away. I had a friend. I still have a friend. He's still alive. And I decided to follow God. I had been friends with him for a long time. Does anyone have any of those friends where you're friends, like, you've been friends for almost life, right? Well, this was my BFF. Best friends forever. This was my BFF. And I decided to follow the Lord. I decided to pursue God. I decided to follow God with everything I had. I decided to go after him. You know, I was like, you know, I'm going to go after God. And I remember I went over to my friend's house, and I was like, dude, we need to talk. We need to talk right now. And so we went into his den, and we sat down, and we started talking. And I was like, dude, I'm going this way, and you're going that way. I don't think I can hang out with you anymore. You know, I don't think we can be friends anymore because I'm going this way for God, and you're going this way towards the world. And so I cut it off. I cut that relationship off. And, you know, and we still kind of talked every now and then. We still kind of hung out. But I cut it off. Okay, and here's what happened. His life started getting better. He had the friends. He had the nice car. You know, he was staying up late. He was sleeping in till like, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he had everything going for him. He moved to California, and he had a nice job. He had everything. And looking at it, I was like, shoot, he's doing okay. And here I am trying to slug it out for the Lord. And he's like down in California, like, you know, manager of a store. Well, guess what? He lost it all. He lost his job at the store down there. And he had to move back, and his car eventually kind of broke down. His tires were, like, balded from all the driving. They were so messed up. His computer crashed. Like, his hard drive, like, fried. And he lost everything. Like, all the pictures, all the music, everything. You know, because everything is digital now, so no one has, like, pictures. They'll have digital pictures. He lost everything. And so it's a bummer. It's a way bummer because, you know, you lose everything. He lost it all. So do not fret. Do not be envious. Because we live for something eternal. We live for something that's not here. It's up there. And God has a plan. God has a purpose that's far beyond any of your guys' dreams. Way beyond. You guys are gifted beyond belief. You guys are all, every single one of you has a gifting. You all have giftings. And you all are gifted in certain areas of life where God has placed those things inside of you. Some of you are administrative. Some of you organize things in your mind. And if this is not over there and this is not over there, you freak out. God has wired you that way. God has placed those things in your mind so that you can direct people like me that are just like, whatever, you know, just kind of throw things up there. And I'm like, hopefully it gets together. You guys have giftings. You guys have things inside of you that are supposed to be utilized. If you want to. Who wants to live for God? Come on. Who wants to live for God? You want to experience great things? Well, guess what? You have to do it. If you want to go all for God, if you want to see amazing things, if you want to see thousands of people saved, because literally each one of you, you know, Peter in the Bible, was one man. He saw 3,000 saved one day. Each one of you can do that. That's not just Peter. That's Whitney. Whitney, you could do that. You could stand in front of your campus and say, you guys don't know Jesus. I do. Come here. And 3,000 people could literally get saved. But that's only if you want it. Those things, those great exploits that you would like to do for God, you have to be faithful with the small things first. You have to be faithful with the little things. Because God's not going to give you 3,000 people if you can't talk to one. If you can't talk to one person about Jesus Christ, there's no way you can stand in front of 3,000 people and say and see 3,000 people get saved. It starts with one. And evangelism is really not that hard. And I've done evangelism for a while, and right now it's not that hard for me. It's not that hard for me to go up to someone I do not know and say, "Hey, my name's Peter. What's your name? Nice to meet you, Mac. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ? You don't? Let me pray for you, because you need to know him." It's not that hard for me to do that. You know why? Because I practiced. The first time I did that, I came up to Mac and I was like, "What's your name?" "Jake. Nice to meet you. My name's Peter, Paul. I don't remember my name. Do you want to know Jesus?" That's how it first started. Every single time I went up to someone to talk about Jesus, I'd be so nervous. My heart would be like, you know, it'd be like freaking out, and I'd be like freaking out, and they'd be freaking out because I'm freaking out. And so it takes practice. It takes practice. It does not happen overnight. You guys have to be faithful with the small things. You guys have to be faithful with talking to that one person about Jesus. Then God will give you more. God will give you more stuff that you can handle, because he won't give you anything you can't handle yet. You have to be faithful with the small things, with the little things. So there's a way that seems right to the man, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that seems right to a man. And it's easy to look at the wicked. It's easy to look at those who are not following after the Lord and say, "Dang, they have it all together. They're doing okay. Why am I serving God?" It's easy to do, because it's hard to see sometimes a point to serving God when you don't really see much happening in your life. And it was amazing at Priest's Prayer. I should have had you read that verse again. But it was amazing. Danny read a verse today that ties directly in with what I'm speaking tonight. Galatians 6:9. "Do not give up on doing good, because in the proper time, it will reap harvest." Do not give up, young people. Don't give up. Even if you don't see it right away, don't give up. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Even if you don't see your friends come to Christ right away, keep pressing in prayer. Even if that girl goes back to doing that stuff again, keep pressing in. Don't give up. Because at the proper time, it will reap a harvest. At the proper time, there needs to be sowing. You guys need to be sowing into your spiritual lives. If you want to reap a harvest of spiritual things, you need to sow spiritual seeds. If you want to have a good harvest of prayer times, you need to sow into those prayer times that are not like seemingly good, because there's no prayer times that are bad. And you have to press in, even when you don't feel the tinglies from God, you still press in and pray anyway. And you're sowing those spiritual things so that later you will reap a harvest of spiritual stuff in your life. Because you can sow the other way. You can sow to your sinful nature, and guess what you're going to reap? Destruction. And so you can sow either way. God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow, no matter what. Sins that I have committed in the past, I have reaped what I've sown. Every single one. Every single sin that I've ever done I've reaped what I've sown. Whether it's in my mind, whether it's in my heart, whether it's, you know, crazy, you reap what you sow. So Hebrews 11:25. Says sin is pleasurable for a season. Sin is pleasurable for a season, meaning that it feels good. Pleasure when it says in the Bible pleasure for a season, it means enjoyment. It means fun. It means great times, good times. Sin always feels good at first. It always feels good. Then you reap the consequences, and then it doesn't feel so good. When I first started doing drugs, it felt good. When I first started getting high, I was like, this is good. This is fun. Man, why didn't I ever do this before? This is good. And so it was fun. It was fun for a season. Then I got addicted. Then it wasn't so fun because I needed it. I needed to have it. And so sin, you'll reap what you sow. And I sowed into drugs and alcohol, and I reaped addiction. And it's not fun. You will reap what you sow. And sin is always pleasurable for a season. So you can look at your friends, right? And they're having a good time. They're sinning it up. They're doing this and that with this girl, this guy. They're smoking this. They're snorting that. They're doing all these things. And it looks like fun. It looks like they're having a good time. It looks like, you know, they're doing okay. You know, they're not dying. They didn't show up to school and they all of a sudden died because they were doing that stuff. It looks like they're having a good time, right? Has anyone ever thought this? Like you look at, you know, how your friends are living and you're like, dang, they're doing okay. Me too. We're in the same boat. But in the end, it leads to death. In the end, the things that they did with that guy and girl, they're going to reap in their marriage. When they get married, all that stuff that they did is going to come back to haunt them. And all the drugs that they did, all the stuff is going to come back to haunt them, because a lot of people, when they do that many drugs, their minds go crazy. Their brain cells die, and when they quit, they're never the same. Because they reap what they sow. And sin is always feels good in the moment, but in the end, it leads to death. So don't worry. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged if your friends look like they're succeeding and you're trying to live out this life for Christ and you're walking through the deserts and you're like, dang, this is hard. This is tough. It's hard to live for God. Don't be discouraged, because you're sowing into your spiritual man, woman. You're sowing into that. And when you're pressing in through those deserts, and it looks like everyone around you is succeeding, but you're failing, guess what? The promised land comes. You get through the desert. You get through the desert, and you come to the oasis. You get to the promised land, and you fly. You soar above every single one of your friends, because God opposes the proud. God stands against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He exalts the humble. He lifts the humble up. Living out your faith isn't really that hard if you know in the end you win. Because in the end, no matter what, the devil can like kick and scream. He can do anything he wants, but he cannot take your faith away. He can't take your salvation away. And so in the end, you win. So it's really not that hard to live out your faith. And I know there's hard times, and I know there's going to be deserts. There's going to be times in your guys' life where you're like, where is God? But really, if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, you won't have to worry. You won't go to that place of, man, maybe I should give up. No, you'll go to that place of, okay, it's hard right now. Trials are to be suspected. You know, it says in the Bible, don't be surprised by this trial. So there's a promised land coming my way. There's a promised land coming my way. And a lot of you guys in school, a lot of you guys in your campuses, you're in the desert right now. You're in the desert right now, and you're getting prepared. You're getting prepared. You guys, every day, are surrounded by thousands, hundreds of young people. And you're getting prepared. You're getting set up. You're getting set up so that God can use you. And he can use you in amazing ways. He can use you in fabulous ways, in fantastic ways, in crazy ways. And God is setting you up. God is setting you up for success so that if you stand firm in public school, dang, you're good. You'll be good once you get out of public school. You know, you're gonna take off. You're gonna fly off, because if you keep your faith through public school, because I know it's like in public school and it's hard. And if you keep your faith through public school and you share the love of Christ with people and you evangelize, you talk to people about Christ, when you get out of high school, you're gonna be like crazy. You're going to be like this fire, inferno. Amen? Amen. So, who wants to pray for the sick and see them healed? Raise your hand. Who wants to pray for those that have depression and see them healed? Who wants to pray for those with broken limbs and see them healed? If you want those things, you have to be faithful with the small. You have to be faithful with the small things. You have to be faithful with praying for the person with a cold. You start with the small things. Because I know every one of you. I know every one of you wants to do exploits for God, right? Every single one of you in this room wants to do crazy things. And you can. But you have to be faithful with the small things. You have to be faithful with small things. I was looking online. I was going on the internet, and I was looking up people that were famous. And I was looking at people that were rich. And guess what I found? Can anyone guess what they all had in common? No. Nope. I think someone said it. I think you said it. Depression. A lot of them were suicidal. I read a few articles on a couple of the famous people, like Owen Wilson. Do you guys know who that is? He's the guy that was in Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights, and he was in the museum. Not at the museum. He attempted suicide. Almost died. By overdosing on pills. And then, who you guys know who Lindsay Lohan is? Drug and alcohol addict. Has many DUIs. Has had possession with cocaine. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And we look at these people. We look at how successful they are. And we're like, dang, I wish I was like them. Man, I wish I had as much money as they did. I wish I had these things. Well, you know what? Those things perish. The things that they run after do not satisfy. And it's apparent. Some of the richest people in the world had also the richest part of depression. The things of this world do not satisfy. And as a society, as a group of young people, we're taught to run after these things. We're conditioned to run after that guy. We're told by thousands of hours of television that we watch, we need a girlfriend. We need someone that cares about us. We need to have sex. Amen. And we need to do drugs. We need to have fun. We need to do what feels right. You know, what's right for me is right for me, and what's right for you is right for you. There is no truth. Well, guess what? That's stupid. If there's no truth, why are we here? Someone tell me. If there's no truth, why are we here? What's our purpose? No, if there's no truth, If there's no truth, why the heck are we on this planet? Someone tell me right now. Nothing. There's nothing else. There's nothing else in this world that we're purposed for. Because the money, the drugs, the alcohol, the relationships, those all pass away. Those are temporary. We can't take those with us when we die. We could be buried with them, but we're still not with them. So if there's no truth, why do we exist? So do not fret. Do not be envious. Do not go, oh man, they can say whatever they want. Man, they can do whatever they want, and I have to be a Christian, and I have to not say those things, and I have to not listen to that music, and stupid. Because guess what? The things that they're doing, the things that they're saying, is adding more and more layers of chains, more and more layers of bondage. They're walking around with loads of guilt. They're walking around with loads of insecurities. They're walking around with all these things. And from the outside, they look like they have it all together. Has anyone ever met that person where they look on the outside, they got all together, but on the inside, they're like dying? You guys are surrounded by people like that. You guys are surrounded because we're also taught in society to hide our feelings, to not express our feelings. We're taught to be private, you know, to be to privacy, you know, don't get into my life. You can have everything you ever wanted, and you can still be unhappy. And God will let you have it sometimes. God will give you over to the things you want most sometimes, even if they're sinful. God will let you be rich. God will let you, you know, go get big in music industry. God will say, okay, you really want to do that? All right. And he'll let you go into these things so that you see those things do not fulfill you. Because you can have success in the world's eyes. You can have success. The big house, 2 kids and a dog. And then eventually you retire, get a 401k maybe. Right now, we don't really know if we get a 401k. And you get a motorhome and you drive around the country. That's what you guys are supposed to do. Are you guys ready? Woo! We get a motorhome. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want a motorhome. But that's what you guys are told to do. That's what you guys are told to do. You guys are told you need a house. You need a car. You know what? You need a husband. You need a husband because that will fulfill you. Nope. Guess what? You want to be successful? Yes. You want to be successful? Follow after the Lord. Commit your ways to God. And when you are humble, when you are humble, he will lift you up. He will exalt you. He will give you more things that you can handle when you're faithful with the small things. Because you guys are all gifted. You guys are an amazing group of young people. And you all have giftings, and you all have these things inside of you that are just bubbling to come out. All of you, you guys back there, each one of you has giftings. You know, yours might be art. You know, you might really like art things. And I don't know. That's why you're faithful with the small things. You know, and you pay attention. You know, for me, I really like music. I've always really liked music. And I really didn't know where God had called me until I started just kind of doing things. You know? I just started doing things. I started playing guitar, and I started just kind of doing whatever I knew. You know, and it turned out God had engineered me to do music, to play music, to do all the things music does. And God has wired you guys. And a lot of you guys, right now, you're in the desert. No, it's good. You know why? Because through the desert, when you come out, you're going to be a giant slayer. When you come out, you're going to be able to take on the world. Because through that preparation, through that time when you didn't give up, when you had the opportunity to deny Christ, and you had the opportunity, when your friends came up and they're like, you know, are you one of those Christian freak people? And you're like, yes, I am. Thank you. And you don't deny Jesus Christ. And you minister to the people around you. And you begin to listen. You know, I would encourage you, if you don't know where your giftings are, pray. That's like, yeah, what you're talented at. Kind of the things that you like to do. You know, that's simple. Sometimes, real quick, okay, giftings are not necessarily your hobbies. Everyone listen to me. Shh. Giftings are not necessarily what you, you know, the your favorite thing to do sometimes. But sometimes they are. Sometimes the things that you really like to do, and sometimes the things that you're thinking in your mind, man, I wish this could be better. Chances are, that's probably where you're gifted in. And God has gifted you to see where this needs improvement so that you can go into that and help it. Does that make sense? And so even if you guys don't know your giftings right now, that's okay. That's okay. I didn't know what my giftings were till I was like, let's see. How old am I? 23. Yes, I am 23. I know, I'm an old man. I think I was like 18 or 19. And I became a Christian when I was 17. So it was like a year before I really found out really kind of my giftings. You know, I started walking in a level of my giftings. And really at the time, I was just like, I really like to do this, so I'm going to do it. Like, I really liked playing guitar, so I was like, I'm going to go on the worship team because I like playing guitar. Wee, it's fun. And so I just kind of did things that I kind of liked to do. And so you kind of have to listen to the Lord, and you kind of have to, you know, think about, you know, where you're called. You know, do you really like graphic design? Do you really like to modulate pictures and make them look fantastic? If you're happy, maybe you're called to, you know, spread joy on people, be a pastor. And not necessarily wear the title pastor, but be a pastor to other people. I honestly never really expected to be a youth pastor. I can see now where God was preparing me, like in the times where, you know, I would teach in front of like certain in ministries, and I would have times where I'd minister to youth and pastor them, be in charge of youth. I can see now, but really at the time, I never thought, you know, oh, I'm getting equipped so that I can go lead a youth ministry down in Lebanon, Oregon. I never thought that. And so really, God will direct your steps. It says in the Bible, commit your ways to the Lord, and he will direct your steps. He will direct your steps. So even if you don't necessarily know where you're called right now, listen to him, follow him, pray, seek him. Say, God, where am I gifted? You know, God, what are the things that I like to do? And just pray. So do not fret, young people. Everyone say, do not fret. Do not fret when your friends succeed. And so tomorrow, when you go to your campuses, you know, and you see your friends and they're all like, ha, 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 oh, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy. You know, and they're like freaking out, and they're like, you know, talking about, you know, that guy or that girl. Don't be like, oh man, I wish I could talk like that. Man, I wish I could do those things. Oh man, you went to a party. I'm a Christian. I can't go to those. No, keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Everyone say that. I will keep an eternal perspective. I will keep an eternal perspective where I see that although they are talking about those things and they're saying, oh, it's so great. Oh, you should go do this. You should go do that. It's so great. Ooh, it's so much fun. You say, okay, that's going to lead to death. That's going to lead. You don't tell them this. Don't be like, you're going to death, sucker. Don't tell them that. It might not go over too well. But, yeah, you're going to burn. That might not direct them towards Jesus Christ. But keep in your mind, keep in your eternal mind's perspective that, okay, though that they're having fun right now, that's not going to be so much fun when they get married. That's not going to be so much fun when they're addicted to that drug. That's not going to be so much fun when they accidentally have sex with that guy. They didn't mean to, but they did. And they have that load of guilt. They have that load of shame, that condemnation that comes with it. And you keep that eternal perspective. You say, okay, that's going to lead to death. And you pray for them. You don't necessarily go, oh, you went to the party? Sweet, let me pray for you. Jesus' name, I rebuke that. You know, you don't necessarily do that. In your mind, you go off about a party. Okay. Has anyone ever heard that conversation about going to a party? Okay. So as he's saying that, you go, okay. In your mind, you're like, Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just touch his heart or her heart. God, I pray that you'd begin to use those things that he would know that they don't fulfill him in Jesus' name. And you pray in your mind for them. And don't go like, you went to a party, you sinner. What's your problem? You know, don't do that. That won't work, I promise. You went to a party? Ah, read that. But love them. Pray for them. Minister life to them. Be like, hey, you know that party? That's not going to fulfill you. That's not going to satisfy. That drug, that thing that you're doing right now, it's not going to fulfill. So what is truth? What is true? If there's no God, what are we meant to do? What's our purpose? But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there is a truth, there is a God, and you do have a purpose. You guys are meant to live for something more. You guys are meant, I want everyone to pay attention to me right now. You guys are meant to have amazing marriages. You guys are meant to have amazing friendships. You guys are meant to have amazing ministries, whether in a church or in a workplace. You guys are meant to have those things. You're supposed to have those things. You guys have a purpose, an eternal purpose. It's not to run after money. It's not to get a great job and find fulfillment in a guy or a girl. That's not it.